privilege this morning to be reminded of a fellow named Bartimaeus, who was graciously overwhelmed by the mercy of our Savior Jesus. And as you're turning, I love that noise. That's one of my favorite sounds, is the sound of you all opening your Bibles. And I can't hear those of you who are using your smartphones or your iPads, but I love the sound of Bibles opening. We're going to be in Mark chapter 10, the last few verses of Mark 10 this morning. And as you're looking for that passage, let me just test your memory of literature. How's that? When you hear the name H.G. Wells, what do you think of? War of the Worlds, of course. Everybody has heard of War of the Worlds. You may not know that one of H.G. Wells' dozens of shorter writings was a story called The Country of the Blind. The Country of the Blind. It's a quick read. Take you about 10 minutes to read it, probably. It's a story of a mountaineer who is climbing in the Andes of South America. And while climbing, he tumbles down a mountain into an isolated valley whose inhabitants are all blind, every one of them. It's the country of the blind. And for many, many generations, it had been this way in this village that is hidden from the rest of humanity, surrounded by mountains. Normal life for the people there was the blindness they had been born with. They didn't know anything but blindness. And the climber lived among these people for a while until they actually grew angry with him, because he would talk to them about the stars that he could see and the beautiful cloud formations and the colors of the trees and the flowers and the shape of the mountains. None of them could see their own surroundings. It had been that way among them for generations. They actually denied that there even was such a thing as sight. They didn't believe him. They thought he was delusional. And eventually the villagers planned a surgery to cut out his eyes, or as they called them, those things that protrude from the face, confident that it would cure him of his persistent belief in sight. It's a weird story. And the story ends with the man's escape from the country of the blind. He's actually forced to leave them because they're going to cut his eyes out, obviously. But he's forced to leave them in their ignorance and in their blindness. H.G. Wells used fiction in the late 1800s to describe a sobering reality that is given to us all throughout Scripture. This is no fiction. That mankind is born in spiritual darkness. We're like those who live in the country of the blind by birth, often ignorant of, and quite often in denial of, spiritual reality. And it takes divine enlightenment for us to see truth. It takes divine enlightenment for us to see who Jesus really is, and to act upon the reality of who Jesus really is. It takes eyes of faith. This morning, our time in the Word, we're focusing on the response to Jesus by those who have eyes of faith. And so I just have to ask you this. Do you see Jesus with eyes of faith? Are you acting upon the need that you have for Jesus? Have you a sense of what that even means? I guess another way to ask you that question is, are you living in reality? Or are you like those in the country of the blind, still in darkness, perhaps even denying reality? This morning we meet in Scripture this fellow I mentioned earlier, blind Bartimaeus. And what we'll notice right away is that he actually sees more clearly than anyone else around him who Jesus is and his own need for Jesus, though he is blind. He lives in physical darkness, and yet with eyes of faith, he sees not only his need for Jesus, but he sees in Jesus one who is sufficient for his need. And I am praying that God will bless us with eyes of faith to see Jesus this way this morning. Let's begin reading with verse 46 of Mark 10. It says, "Now they came to Jericho." Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem, and they've come to Jericho. And as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." Throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. He starts out begging by the road, Mark says. He ends up following Jesus on the road. We'll get back to that. Those of you who feel that we go through the Scriptures on Sunday mornings a bit slowly, you know who you are. I want to just acknowledge that today is really a tough one for you, because you've noticed that we're not just going slowly, we're actually going backward now in Mark's gospel. You're remembering correctly a couple of weeks ago that we were in Mark 11 and we were enjoying, at least I was and nobody objected, we were enjoying Mark's account of Palm Sunday. And we dealt with this little kind of side account of blind Bartimaeus then, but just briefly. And I want to just tell you that because three of the four gospel writers give us an account of the salvation of Bartimaeus, I would suggest to you that his experience with Jesus is far too important for us to just give brief attention to. Three of the four gospel writers give us this account of Jesus interacting with blind Bart. We'll call him that for time's sake, okay? It must be important that we have an understanding of what has happened to Bartimaeus. Notice that here in Mark's gospel, Bartimaeus is named kind of casually. He's given a nickname. He's just blind Bartimaeus. And more than likely, his experience with Jesus was well known to Mark's first readers. Early Christians knew about this son of Timaeus, this man who once was blind and begging on the road outside of Jericho, but now is able to see, not only physically, but has been given spiritual sight by the only one who can give that, Jesus. This man's testimony is repeated in the three Gospels as a picture of faith and discipleship. Not merely Jesus' power to heal, to restore a physiology. We've seen that repeatedly already in Mark's Gospel. Jesus, Mark has been telling us, is the one who has all authority. He has authority over what happens to every molecule in our bodies. He has the authority to teach as God himself. He has the authority over life itself. He has raised the dead to life. But Mark wants us to see in Bartimaeus a picture, a miracle of the kind of faith that gives spiritual sight. So we have much to learn from this fellow and his interaction with our Savior. But I want us to just think about Bartimaeus' life for a moment. He lives in darkness. He cannot see and enjoy the beautiful palm trees that were common around Jericho, the gardens of Jericho, which by this time had been rebuilt a little way away from the original Jericho. There's actually two Jerichos, believe it or not. If you grab a Bible dictionary or a biblical encyclopedia, which is always a helpful thing to do, you'll find that scholars often refer to Old Testament Jericho. Remember this one? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, 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 and the walls came tumbling down. That's an important song. We need to know that about Jericho, and we need to know that about the power of God when he commands his people to live by faith. Well, Herod, fast forward to the Roman era, Herod built a new Jericho about a mile away from the old Jericho so that he could get away from the Jews in the old Jericho who hated him. And so here we are, somewhere around Jericho. It's kind of like the Twin Cities, St. Paul and what's the other one? Right? Okay. The people of Jericho would talk about things that you and I talk about, the beautiful sunshine, the beautiful flowers, the palm trees, all of that. And Bartimaeus saw nothing. He's in darkness. And those descriptions that people would thrill over to him just seemed kind of otherworldly. He's not able to relate to that at all. And as sad as that sounds, what we're meant to see in this narrative is something that is far more sad. The Bible tells us that all men and women who do not know the living God through faith in Jesus Christ live in a world of spiritual darkness. When saved people, has this ever happened to you as a saved person? When saved people talk to unsaved people about the holiness of God, the coming judgment of sin, the beauty of God's redemptive love in Christ, the wonder of eternal life with God through Jesus Christ. All of this sounds like nonsense to them. It's otherworldly. They don't see it. Some of you experienced that very recently this past weekend in light of Resurrection Sunday and celebrating with your extended families. Perhaps you know all about this. They live in the country of the blind, denying that there even are spiritual realities. And like most blind people in his day, Bartimaeus is also terribly poor. He sits begging outside of Jericho on the route to Jerusalem. It was an opportune place for beggars to hit up the pilgrims as they made their way to Jerusalem for Passover. His only source of income is begging. He is utterly dependent upon outside help for his livelihood. And again, Mark's narrative is very purposeful. Without Christ, we are all spiritually poor on the inside. We know nothing of the riches of a clean conscience before God. Let me ask you something. Is your conscience clean before God? We know nothing of the riches of forgiven sin, imputed righteousness, the righteousness of another, a holy one, credited to us, the indwelling Spirit who never leaves us, eternal life in Christ. And the thing of it is it's been that way for men and women like us for many, many generations, going all the way back to Adam's fall. You think of it this way. Before Adam sinned, he saw everything in the right light. Adam lived in reality. He knew God rightly. He enjoyed peace with God. He reflected God's image, the purpose for which he had been created. He was grateful to God. But sin changed all of that. Not just for Adam and Eve, but for all of us. As natural as it had once been for Adam to do what was right and God-centered, it is now natural for people like us to do what is wrong and inherently self-centered. No one has to teach us this. I'm realizing this as I watch my little grandchildren grow up now. Nobody has to teach us to be little sinners. We come by it naturally, right? And our spiritual blindness is as incurable to us in our own strength as Bartimaeus' physical blindness is incurable to him. He is hopeless without outside help. And we are utterly dependent upon God to relieve us of our spiritual poverty, just as Bartimaeus was dependent upon outside help to relieve his earthly poverty. If this is to change, we need a miracle the way Bartimaeus needed a miracle. And so on this day that we're reading of, there are actually two miracles that take place. And it begins simply enough. Bartimaeus has heard about Jesus. You see how simple this is? It says right here in the text, he had heard that it was Jesus coming by. He'd been listening to the sounds of the crowd on the road. And it's getting louder and louder. And there's an unusual commotion, something that he wouldn't normally hear. And he starts asking around, what's going on? Jesus the Nazarene is coming. He's on his way to Jerusalem with his disciples. How many of you know this verse? Romans 10:17 says this, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Blind Bart has heard about Jesus. Everybody in and around Jericho had heard about Jesus and his amazing divine authority. And faith begins this way. Faith responds to hearing the truth about Jesus. Those of you who are praying, are any of you praying for your unsaved loved ones? Loved one, people who are dear to you and they're living in the country of the blind. And as you pray for them, please remember, tell them about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing. They have to hear about Jesus from somebody. I mentioned a miracle of faith earlier, and notice that we see this miracle budding in verse 47 when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. He began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is faith in its infancy, if you will. Faith comes by hearing, and then he begins to cry out for Jesus. Why? This might be the last time Jesus passes him by. He has heard all about this miracle worker. He may never see Jesus again. And so he cries out for Jesus. And let me just say to you, friend, do you realize that those wonderful gospel songs we just sang, didn't you enjoy that, by the way? Thank you, worship team, for leading us that way. These wonderful gospel songs we just sang. And even this gospel message that we're hearing now through the scriptures, do you realize this may be the last time Jesus passes your way? We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the rest of today. This is Bartimaeus' last chance. Will he cry out for mercy? He does. What about you? If you are not saved today, let me love you enough to tell you that you are living dangerously. Notice that Bartimaeus refers to Jesus not as Jesus of Nazareth, not as Jesus the Nazarene, as the people had. Who's coming? Jesus of Nazareth is coming. No, he doesn't say that, though. He cries out to Jesus, Son of David. That's interesting. That's a messianic title for Jesus. The Holy Spirit is applying to this man's heart what he knows about Jesus. Light is beginning to shine into his heart, into his conscience concerning Jesus. He sees his deep need, and not just physically, but also spiritually. We'll keep coming back to that so that I want you to be convinced of that, okay? That's why he cries out for mercy. He doesn't just cry out for physical sight. He cries out for mercy. What is mercy? Anybody? What's mercy? Okay, here's the thing. Grace, this doesn't count against my time. Grace is undeserved, unearned favor from God. Are you glad for grace? Amazing grace, how great, right? Amazing grace, unearned favor from God. Mercy is what? God withholding from sinners what they actually deserve. That's mercy. If you are a saved person, if you're alive today, it is because God is merciful. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's why I say here is a blind man who sees Jesus more clearly than most of the people around him. Most people on this day saw Jesus physically. They saw what he was wearing. They saw his beard. They saw the smile on his face. And as marvelous as that will be for us one day when we see Jesus as he is, those people, most of them could not see who Jesus really is. Bart can see none of those things physically, but he sees with eyes of faith who Jesus really is. And so he cries out for mercy to the one who can extend mercy. Jesus is the promised Messiah, the promised Savior of God's people. That's why he calls him that. He knows his own need for mercy. He may not be able to use his physical eyes to look in a mirror and see his own reflection, but he can see into his own heart. And he can see that he is a sinner in desperate need of mercy from God. And he cannot rest until he has come to Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Let me ask you something. We who are sighted people, what a blessing that is. Can you see the reality of your own heart? Does your conscience testify to you that you are in need of mercy from God? Listen, people sometimes ask, what is saving faith? I mean, how do I know if I have the kind of faith that leads to salvation? I want you to be really encouraged from the scriptures this morning. If you have cried out to Jesus in this way, desperate, not justifying yourself, not promising to go to church X number of times and help a certain number of elderly ladies across the street and that sort of thing, but just coming to Jesus desperate and aware of your sin and your need for mercy from God. Friend, have you cried out to Jesus in this way? That's what faith does. Faith humbly cries out to Jesus for mercy. Verse 49 is so precious and so encouraging. Jesus stood still. Underline that in your friend's Bible so they don't forget this. You won't forget it, you know that, but other people will. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." In response to this cry for mercy, Jesus stopped. And Jesus stood still. If you are a saved person today, it's because Jesus has stopped and stood still for you. Jesus is on a schedule. He's on his way to Jerusalem. That's where he will drink the cup of the Father's wrath for sinners like Bartimaeus and sinners like you and me. That's what that cross is all about. Jesus is about to satisfy God's judgment for the sins of people. He's on a timeline now. But the thing of it is, he stops to hear the cry of this poor, blind, desperate beggar, Bartimaeus. Do you realize, friend, that if you cry out to Jesus for mercy, he most certainly will stop and stand still for you? Why is Jesus stopping? Well, it's because he's got business to do with Bartimaeus now. And it can now be as if no one else is there. And in the quiet of your heart, let me just encourage you. Jesus, perhaps by his Spirit, is stopping now and standing still before you. And it's as if it's just you and him. And friend, if it is suddenly becoming clear to you, for whatever reason, however many times you've heard the gospel before, and here you sit in this room full of people, I just want to encourage you that Jesus has business to do with you. He has stopped and stood still for you. And he will hear your cry for mercy. Take a cue from Bartimaeus. Never mind what others think of you. What really matters is what God thinks of you. And what he's saying to you by his Spirit even now. Do you notice that Jesus does not merely stop and stand still? He actually is calling now for Bartimaeus. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, he is calling you." So Jesus is calling for Bartimaeus. Boy, what refreshing words those are. Be of good cheer. He's calling for you. He wants you. He's got time for you. His mercy is available to you. Notice that this is an irresistible call. I mean, Bartimaeus hears this call and he just can't help but make his way to Jesus now. With this call from Jesus comes the ability and the freedom for Bartimaeus to come to Jesus. Look what he does in verse 50. It says that he throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. You know, that outer garment that people wore in Jesus' time was incredibly important for lots of reasons. Bartimaeus may well have used that outer garment from time to time to collect the alms that would be given to him as people passed by. The outer garment was expensive. It would often be used as a bed covering to keep warm at night. But the thing about these outer garments is they had become for people a status symbol. The way fancy sneakers were a status symbol when I was in high school. I don't know if that's still the case or not. And I don't even want to know what sneakers cost now. I'm done with that. But it used to be. If you had the right kind of sneakers, you were in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people really thought you were something. I mean, you might not have two dimes to rub together, but if you were wearing the right sneakers, you were okay. That's kind of how those outer garments were. Even for poor people, the outer garment covered up the shabbiness of their poverty, you see. And it would take a while for a person to gather up that outer garment and bind it up. Remember that verse that says, girding up your loins, you know, to gird that up so that they could move quickly walking or running. Bartimaeus isn't going to waste his time with any of that. You notice that? He couldn't care less about covering up anymore. He needs to get to Jesus, and he needs to get to Jesus right now. And I really don't think we're straining the text too much at all to see this as an illustration of just how badly we need to cast aside anything that keeps us from coming to Jesus. Now, you might be sitting here this morning and you're hearing this call. And it's an irresistible call. But one of the things you must overcome is, well, what are other people going to think if I come up and talk to one of the elders after this service? Cast it aside. You might be sitting here thinking, well, I hear the call, but I'm really worried about what that might mean for the rest of my life. I might have to give something up. I might have to change direction. I might have to stop trusting in some of the garbage I've been trusting in. Cast it aside and come to Jesus. When God grants faith, we begin to see ourselves for who we really are. Despite our outer garments, the part of us that we present to everybody else, all of our attempts to clean ourselves up, to present rightly to others by our measure. And if you learn anything from Bartimaeus, please learn that you must come to Jesus spiritually poor and naked and blind and needy. That's the only way he'll receive you. And friend, let me just love you enough to tell you that is your reality. Mine too. Faith finds the call of Jesus urgent and irresistible. And it forsakes all obstacles to him. This is why we preach Christ. Amen. We don't preach Christ thinking that our clever words, the technique we've rehearsed, all of that sort of stuff has some kind of saving power. No, it is the gospel that is the power of God to save. Do you believe this? See, I think if we believe this, more of us would preach the gospel. I mean, proclaim the gospel. We preach the gospel. We present Christ, the wonder of what he has done for sinners like us, believing that God is actually saving people. That in some there will be this irresistible call of grace. And notice with me that Jesus asks another question. In Mark's gospel, in any of the gospels, you always see Jesus asking questions. Verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And I won't belabor this, but you remember, because we've seen this many times in Mark's gospel, when Jesus asks a question, it's not because he needs the answer. Remember? Jesus is not in need of information. He is the all-knowing one. He knows Bartimaeus's heart. He doesn't need the answer to this question. So why does he ask it? Because Bartimaeus needs to hear his answer. And there are others watching this interaction between Jesus and blind Bart who need to hear this answer. Look at verse 51 still. The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Now don't miss this. Don't go straight to the sight thing. Some of your Bibles use the word Lord. Some of your Bibles use the word Rabbi. This word Rabboni is actually quite important. It literally means my master. Bartimaeus turns to Jesus, the son of David, and says, my master. Or better yet, my wonderful master. You see, by faith, Bartimaeus is seeing Jesus as his master. His Lord. The one to whom he is now willing to subject his entire life. Of course this man wants to see physically. He makes that very clear. But this title for Jesus suggests that Bartimaeus is beginning to see spiritually as well. And he wants to be healed in that sense as well. He's tired of living in the country of the blind. He wants to be made whole. And so he turns to Jesus and says, my master, my master. Listen, do you know Jesus this way? Do you see how that's different from knowing some facts about Jesus? Do you see how personal this is? For a sinner to look at Jesus and cry out for mercy and to know that he stops and stands still and accepts you on the basis of him serving you on that cross. And you can now turn to him personally and say, my master, my wonderful master, the one to whom I now give the rest of my life. You see, saving faith is that way. Faith gladly surrenders to the gracious rule of Jesus. And some of you are looking at me funny right now. I mean, funnier than you normally do even. And that's something. You think maybe we're straining the text a bit. Look at verse 52. Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. What an interesting way for that to be said. Jesus doesn't say, your faith has given you eyesight. Jesus does not say, go your way, Bart. You can see where you're going now. You won't even need somebody to lead you around. He doesn't say that. He says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. That word that is translated well, the Greek word is sozo. It means save, to save. The theologians use the term soteriology. You've heard of this? You know, the study of salvation. Go your way, Jesus is saying, your faith has saved you. You've been healed physically and spiritually by faith in me, Jesus says. Go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, let's be clear on something, now that we can see, right? Let's be clear that Bartimaeus has faith in Jesus. Faith must have an object. He doesn't have faith in faith. And people sometimes say that. Well, I just know this is going to work out the way I want it to because I have faith. What do you mean you have faith? I just have faith in my faith that this is going to work out the way I want. No, that's not what's happening here. Don't misunderstand this. The object of blind Bart's faith is Jesus Christ. You can't have faith in faith. And it makes no sense to place faith in someone or something else that cannot deliver what is needed. Bartimaeus has faith in Jesus. Listen. Anyone here who would be made well in the sense that Bartimaeus has been made well, don't put faith in faith. Put your faith in Jesus. Jesus is reality. Anchor your faith that God will forgive you and cleanse you of all of your unrighteousness. And credit the holiness of his Son to you. Put your faith in Jesus, who has made this possible through his work for you at Calvary. Somebody else put it this way. God saves by grace alone. You grab hold of salvation by faith in Christ alone. We know these verses, we quote them all the time, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I believe we just get to see through the window of Scripture here, those verses played out in real time in the life of Bartimaeus. The Spirit of God gives a poor blind beggar faith to trust in what he had heard about Jesus. He sees in Jesus the answer to his greater need, not just physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. And Bartimaeus reaches out with that faith to grasp Christ as his only hope. Have you reached out in faith to grasp Christ as your only hope? How can we be certain, do you suppose, that blind Bart not only sees physically, but also sees spiritually. Notice the very end of verse 52. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. Remember, he started out in verse, 46? He's sitting begging and blind by the road. Now, as a sighted person, he's following Jesus and he's on the road. This is the miracle of salvation. This is the miracle of saving faith. Faith needs Jesus. Faith finds Jesus. And be sure of this, faith follows Jesus. Genuine faith in Christ leads to a life of following Christ. That's why we keep seeing again and again in Mark's gospel. I don't know if I've told you this before, but the gospel is what? Repent, believe, follow. Okay? Bartimaeus, you have your sight. Go on your way. And it's as if Bart is saying, I don't want to go, Jesus. I want to be with you. I'll go where you go. But what was it that Jesus said in John's gospel? He said this. This is John 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. This is what has happened to Bartimaeus. And the icing on the cake is that he can now see physically as well. Do you have eyes of faith? How would you know if you do? Has your soul been won over to Jesus? So that you hear the voice of his word. You repent and you believe in him and you follow him. It's not just an outer garment that you put on to convince others and yourself that you're a religious person. This has happened in your soul. This is the miracle of the new birth. Faith desires to be a willing slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that word, Rabboni, my wonderful master. How can I not follow you? Luke's gospel actually says that Bartimaeus followed Jesus, glorifying God. Do you know what I think that means? I'm freelancing here, okay? So just full disclosure. But I think what that means is that Bartimaeus became one of those Jesus people. Do you know what I'm talking about? He became one of those people who just couldn't stop talking about Jesus. Do you know what Jesus did for me? He saved my soul. And then he opened my eyes. I live for Jesus now. I'll never go back to that life of blindness. I am done with the country of the blind. I'm free. Faith follows Jesus and makes much of him to others. This is a common thread throughout the New Testament. The results of the new birth, we don't see that happening. We see the fruit of it, though. Belief in Christ. Trusting in Christ alone for mercy. Personal relationship. He has become our wonderful master whom we follow. And want others to follow as well. Let me ask you this before we close. Can people see and hear in you that Jesus is precious to your soul? You say, well, I don't want to be annoying. I don't want to be one of those people. Do you know what the scripture says to that? Go ahead and be annoying. You live as a sighted person in the country of the blind. This is what happens when God saves people. They hear the truth about Jesus. They turn to Jesus by faith. And they follow him by faith and make much of him. I pray that God would grant us eyes of faith. Let's pray. Father, we just are grateful for this account of Bartimaeus. What an amazing to think we will meet him one day, we who are following you. Lord, I thank you that you really do have the power to heal physically. There is no ailment in humanity that is somehow outside the reach of your miraculous power. And yet, Lord, today we have focused on that greater miracle, the miracle of your granting forgiveness and eternal life to those who trust in you and you alone. Lord, help us to be faithful proclaimers of this good news. Lord, thank you for giving us sight, though we live in a world whose people, for the most part, are blind. And Lord, if there is anyone here today whose eyes are being opened to the reality of just who you are and how much you love us and what you've done for us, the security that can be had in you alone, Jesus, I pray that you would bring salvation to that heart. And we pray this in your name.